Okay, Shalom Aleichem. As I mentioned last week, you want to try to do over the course of this year as Yeshiva's learning Maseches Brachos. So different ideas from Rav Kook as it relates to Maseches Brachos, as we mentioned in last week, and Yadua to anybody who has any involvement in learning. Obviously, Rav Kook is very, very difficult. His words are difficult. You don't always feel as though you have a complete grasp on exactly what he's saying. Sort of the full amkus of his words always feels like it just sort of was like slightly beyond one's grasp. But, you know, we do our best and take from it what we can. So we had mentioned last week the discussion of Rav Kook and, of course, many of the Mefarshim in trying to understand this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel. Who says that a person needs to only be Tocho Kiboro in order to enter the Beis Medrash, namely that people were showing up whose outside we felt confident in because they're showing up to the Beis Medrash, but what was their Toch like? Versus Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and others that said that, you know, come to the Beis Medrash. And there's many different pshatim as to how to understand the Machlokes. But the basic idea that Rav Kook said is that there is a fundamental debate between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim about the stam state of a human being, where Rabbi Gamliel felt that the stam person, his toch is corrupted, and therefore his outside is just something which can't be trusted, is superficial, is just a fake. Therefore, before a person comes in the Beis Medrash, we have to make sure and we have to sort of pound away at a person's internal state so that it matches their boro, their outside. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chacham, they felt otherwise. They felt that the essence of a human being, especially the essence of a Jew, is beautiful. And therefore, we would assume fundamentally that every person is Tocho Kiboro. If a person is coming to Beis Medrash to want to learn, so we assume, Sir Rav Kook, that outer world is matching his inner world. And if there were pieces that Rav Kook of a person that might be a little bit corrupt, the combination of the fact that his boro, his outside, wants to learn, and the fact that his toch is fundamentally beautiful, those pieces together will sort of shape and help cultivate even the pieces of a person that are not perhaps lishma or are not beautiful. We can, and Rav Kook says, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, namely, even if there are pieces of a person that are not ideal, the combination of his outer ratzon and his inner beauty can help affect and impact and shape pieces of a person. So continuing in that story, of course, everybody knows that Rabbi Gamliel came to the house of Rabbi Yeshua to apologize. Rabbi Gamliel was from royalty. He lived a beautiful life. And Rabbi Yeshua obviously was not that case. So I want to do just the next two pieces in Rav Kook, one of which is sort of melamed zchus on Rabbi Yeshua, and one of which is a beautiful discussion. Melamed zchus on Rabbi Gamliel, and one of which is a beautiful discussion about the nature of appropriate leadership. So the first piece says, Amar Lei, when Rabbi Gamliel came to the house of Yeshua, he saw that his house was sort of all blackened. He says, "Mikotle beisecha nikar shepach meata. I see that your walls are so dark. I see that you are a pachme, that you are a blacksmith." And it seems that by seeing the walls of the house, Rabbi Gamliel had some type of sort of understanding and some type of charata and some type of maybe insight as to maybe where his judgment, and especially his judgment about Rabbi Yeshua, might have been wrong. So Rav Kook says the following, just a beautiful eight-line piece, and by the standards of Rav Kook, quite easy. Kavanaso, that the kavana of these words, Rav Gamliel, mikosle beisecha nikar shepach me'ayata, I see that you are a blacksmith, lahoros lo, to sort of maybe explain to Rabbi Yeshua where he was coming from, Rabbi Gamliel. She yisod klal hanhagaso, why was Rabbi Gamliel almost like so adamant and acting in a way that to us seems cruel, making Rabbi Yeshua stand up in the Beis Medrash? Shalitin l'tamachachim pratiim l'hisgadel al hanasi. He didn't sort of allow any, even like the shemets of like disagreement. Lehisgadel al-Nasi hayarak mibnei chashash ezet ha-mechacha mevakshei kavod. He thought that if you have tamid chachamim who are out there, who are mevakshei kavod, who are seeking their own honor, shebehi nasein rishus lachlok al-Hanasi, ulhachlish dvarav, if Rabbi Gamliel would have given rishus to disagree with the Nasi and then to weaken the words of the Nasi, Yafriu Shalom Haklal, that could really create a bothering of or a destruction of the Shalom for everybody. Because once you sort of take the Nasi down, so then we of course know, of course, that there's total chaos. Bekamen Yonim Delahasig Matura Pradit, that in many, many ways there's a certain danger in sort of allowing for the Nasi to be taken down by a person, perhaps who was seeking power for his own kavod. But if let's say the person who wanted to disagree with the Nasi was a person who was a nefesh tahora, he was a pure soul, he was a leiv tzaddik, tamim kaze, like Rabbi Yeshua, shabocher la'asos b'melacha b'chusa, that had to work in such almost like a relatively degrading profession, that the walls of his house were so black, ukfeida, and a profession that's so difficult, ve'enachas al kvodo, and to do such a thing, walking around with probably stained clothing and blackened hands and blackened walls, and he wasn't chas on his own kavod, Rabbi Yeshua, rak lahanos migio, he's just doing work so that he can make like a meager living so he could go learn, al kiyotze bo ein shum chashash. For that type of person, then there would have been no chashash, ki kavanoso rak l'shem shemayim l'man amita shotara, and that type of person, he would never have wanted to be negative. So it's almost like when Rabbi Gamliel saw the way that Rabbi Yeshua was living, he realized that maybe his efforts in maintaining sort of the sanctity of the Nasius and the unquestioned stature of the Nasi was correct, but that would only sort of be correct if the person who's sort of charging after him, the Tamid Chacham charging after him, were not L'shem Shemayim. If the person was L'shem Shemayim, there's no fear of their creating a discord in the way that the Nasi is viewed. And probably walking into Rabbi Yeshua's house, maybe Rabbi Gamliel realized, you know what, like, I maybe sort of challenged the wrong person. I punished the wrong person. I tried to sort of put Rabbi Yeshua in his place to avoid an uprising, but Rabbi Yeshua was not that type of person in the first place. And again, it was a certain maybe internal charata for Rabbi Gamliel. Now, what's the response of Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Gamliel? Maybe Rabbi Yeshua says, you know, maybe you're right. You know, maybe you're right that if I were that person who's not L'shem Shemayim, maybe you would have to censure me. But maybe the problem is that you don't know the people that you are leading, right? You don't know the people who you are conducting, so to speak. So Rabbi Yeshua tells him, he says, so oi amarlei oi lo l'dor sha'ata parnaso, that you are the parnes of the door, okay? And if you look in the Girsa and our Gemara, that's all we have. Oilo Lador Shatar Parnaso. But if you look on the Hagos Vitzionim, so it adds in, and this is the Girsa of Kukat also, the Oilo Lasvina Shata Karbanita. And woe is the boat for whom you are the conductor, the captain of the boat, Shenata Yodea Bitsara and Shaltamir Chachamim, that you don't even understand the Tsar of Tamide Chachamim. Okay, b'mahein misparnesin u'b'mahein nizonin. You don't know the average person what they have to do to make a living, to make a parnasa, to support their families. And oy lo l'dor, that if you're going to be the person who's so sort of cut off from sort of your people. So what's this dual image? We're just giving, just talking today, learning brachos. Just for instance, the Gemara says in the bottom of Yud Aleph Mabez that a person who's not, who doesn't put on tefillin when he's saying Krishma, so the first statement is that he's made shvu sheker li atzmo. And then the second opinion of the Gemara is that it's as though he brings an ola without a mincha. Now, usually if the Gemara says that, and in fact in that specific case, it's discussed by Rabbeinu Yonah and other Rishonim, why say both of those things? But anytime the Gemara is going to give a certain, or often, it's going to give a certain poetic language, usually it's trying to say two similar but maybe subtly different messages. So what's this idea of oilo ledor shata parnaso kama the oilo lesfina shata karbanita, right? What are sort of those two different images, so to speak? So Rav Kook says the following. Again, it's not a very long piece, only about 10, 15 lines long. So he says, Hanhagas ador haruya, tzricha liyos, shahaman higishtadel, lachador lematzavo, shakol yochid, kifi koko. That the ideal of Jewish leadership, the Hanhagas ador, needs to be shahamanhig, that the leader yishtadel lachador lematzavo, to sort of enter into the matzav of each person kifi koko. I think kifi koko probably means, you know, as well as a leader can possibly know his subjects, the leader has to know his subjects. Ubamai yishtadel l'takein gamkin kol matzavim hapratiim yisromeim matzav haklal kulo. To the degree in which the leader can be misakein each specific situation. This community needs more money for this, and this person is impoverished, and this family needs health care. So the degree in which a leader can impact each of the matzavim pratim, the specific situations, by doing that, yisro meim matzav haklau kulo, by impacting each particular person, you are then impacting the klal. You're impacting the collective of either a rav of a shul, a principal of a school, the head of a community. In this case, Rav Gamliel is the nasi, overlooking the base medrash. V'neged hanhagas haprati yikre belo mashal parnes hador. And because you are keneged each prat, each person, so we call that person a parnes hador, the person who is almost like financially supporting the generation. Shehador morkov mipratim, that the generation is made up of many different specific people, parts. The ishm shonim, many different types of people. But tzarech sheyefarnesem kulam kol echalofin yano. And a leader needs to say, this person needs this, and that person needs this, and each person sort of needs their own thing. And that's the way that a parnes hador knows sort of the financial, emotional, spiritual needs of the people that he are under him. Okay, that's image number one. The karbanita shahasvina, but how about the person who is the captain of the ship? Yikra or al shem ha-hora'a shel hanhaga hakulalas. Obviously, the captain of the ship is operating the ship as a klal, as a collective, right? You're riding the ship. The ship happens to have people in it. Keshem shemanhik hasfina mani kol ishyeha hanigvatsim lesocha. Just like a person who is directing the trip, is the ship is being manhig, all of the people gathered inside of it. Behanhaga achas. It's one ship, one direction of the ship. But, however, uvavoam el mechos chetzam. But when the captain sort of goes beneath board, so he gets to know each person, right? And he gets to know the needs of each person and the background of each person. Yavar lo kol echad darchei prati. So then he gets to sort of inspect and know each person specifically. Okay, so al kein behis alamcha midas hamatzav haprati shel tamachacham shepo harbe al tikan ador. If the poel, the Talmud Chacham, who's just involved in the Tikkun Hador, if what's hidden from him is the Matzav HaPrati, is the specific needs of each person, because he's so just involved in Tikkun Hador, Eifshar Shetesudar Yofeh Hanhaga HaKlalit. You can't direct even the broader community, you can't direct the nation, you can't direct Klal Yisrael, even if you're the person whose job is to be the captain of the ship, so to speak, without really having a clear sense of all the people who are beneath board, who are down there, who are relying on you. Okay, shim hayisa baladaktik lamatzav haprati lo hayanela mimenu erech shekol echad v'echad. If you were to be involved in the lives of each person, you would understand the value of each person. V'lo hayadarish lehisnahe banhaga koleles im anashim shemivnei yikar esam ruyim heim sheyu banhaga yotzim min haklal l'chabdam ul'ramamam. Okay, so in other words, Rav Kook is saying that the leader needs to be really two things at once. Let's say you just take the idea of like a Rav of a shul or a Rosh Yeshiva. On the one hand, the Rosh Yeshiva needs to be somebody whose job is each and every single yachid, to know every yachid, to be there for the needs of the yachid, to know the way that each yachid is living. Every Rav of the shul should know every person in their shul, the names of their children, the struggles they're having, how the congregants' parents are doing, in a very prat-le-prat type of way. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Rav of the community, or the Rosh Yeshiva, or the principal of the school, or the Gadol Hador, or even the prime minister, needs to lead as a collective, but that collective leadership is only meaningful if he has a sense about the people biyachidus. It's not just some collective leadership. My collective leadership is infused by my knowledge of the yachidim as well. So a leader needs to be both biyachid ubeklal, but even when he's leading as a klal, it's still with a leadership that is infused with the sense of the yachid. What Rabbi Yeshua is telling Rabbi Gamliel, and initially Rabbi Yeshua didn't even want to grant mechila for this, is that Rabbi Gamliel, as great as a leader as you might be, you are failing in sort of this fundamental mission. A, you don't know the specific people, the pratim. You don't understand what I have to go through, Rabbi Yeshua says, to come learn in the base medrash of what people have to go through. As a yachid, you're not connecting with the yachidim. And even as far as klal leadership, if it's klal leadership which is disconnected from the life of the yachid, even that klal leadership, even the kabernita shel sfina itself is lacking. And obviously this is something that Rav Kook felt very deeply himself. Rav Kook was a person that felt the tsar of the aniyim. And Rav Kook also felt the weight of the community. But even as Rav Kook felt the weight of the community, he realized that a community is really a composite of its many parts. So in other words, Rav Kook spent time traveling through the country during Shemitah and getting to know the farmers and getting to know different people. So when he would give like his piskei halacha about anything, it was infused with the knowledge of the yechidim on how important that is for every parent, for every Rosh Yeshiva, for every Rebbe, for every Rav, for every leader, knowing both of these parts. Connecting with individuals, but also leading a community, taking stock of and with a sensitivity that you're leading a community that's ultimately made up of Yokar individuals. Okay, thank you. This is Rav Kook Levi found in the Ein Hayah, of course, on Daf Chavches and Brachos, page 114. Thank you so much.